Rightio. Here is a personal podcast. I haven't done one in a while, but here's a personal podcast. I got inspired to record this podcast after my mom had a chat with a few girls at an event that we were at the weekend. And I didn't know why these girls wanted to talk to me at the interval, but my mom spoke to them about why they were there, and one of them was saying they went through a breakup, and then mom was like, oh, you should talk to my daughter. She was on the floor last year after a breakup, and look at her now, she's doing so well, blah, 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 blah. She's after meeting somebody else, all of this jazz. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast. So I actually did say this to Mr. C, I'm going to call him Mr. C, who I'm dating, and I says, I'm going to do a podcast, I'm not going to mention names, and he's like, totally cool, and that's fine. So I've got his permission, and didn't mention much names, but anyway, however, here is a little, not so little podcast of where I was in April 2021 to where I am now, when I was literally felt like I was at rock bottom again. Nobody really noticed online because I literally transitioned without people noticing what was actually going on, because I didn't want to put it out there because I was trying to figure it out myself. I literally taught a class 3 days later. I cancelled two classes online and said I wasn't feeling well. And literally 3 days later, I was back teaching online classes again from a different area. You'll find out more within the podcast, but here's my journey from being literally like at rock bottom in April 2021 to where I am now. Emotionally, mentally, physically, I was really well. But emotionally and mentally, I was definitely really, really strong, because without being mentally strong, there's no way I would have jumped back up as quick as I did and hit the ground running from where I was back in April 2021 after a breakup that didn't really go well. It was probably the most dramatic breakup, but what breakup isn't dramatic? But there's always lessons to be learned. And this is what this podcast is about. It's not a dreary podcast about poor me. It's about what lessons can you learn from that particular event, and how can you not repeat them, and how can you move on effectively with your head high and, you know, leave yourself open to, we'll say, meet somebody again. But most importantly, heal through the process from the inside out, and find your peace, your calm, and find your light. And so you can vibrate that light out and attract the right people into your life in the future. So I did record this podcast late last night. You know, the way I do, I don't script anything. I don't write anything down. It comes from my heart, and it comes from, I speak my truth. So I don't script anything. So bear with me with this podcast. I just thought, how can I get this out effectively, coming from my heart? Because I don't script anything. When I do, it doesn't sound right anyway. So there's no point. So this is for anyone that went through crazy breakups and feel like that you're still stuck. I hope my story will inspire you to build yourself back up, go shine your light, and go attract the right people into your life, because you so deserve it. Rightio, the podcast that took 18 months to process in my head, am I actually going to talk about this? And what's triggering me now to talk about this is we were at an event at the weekend with Jerry Hussey Soul Space, and during the show, Jerry asked us to turn to someone we don't know and just say, listen, why are you here? What have you taken from today so far? And my mom was there, and her cousin, they were sitting in front of me. So they obviously had a chat with the girls in front of them, and I didn't realise that they had this conversation until the interval, when my mother was like, hey, here's my daughter, why don't you have a chat with her? And I was there, what is my mother doing? And she was like, oh, hey, yeah, your mother said that, you know, you're a good one to talk to, and that, you know, you're doing amazing things. And I was like, oh my God, what did my mother say? I didn't know what she said. I didn't know what this lady wanted to talk to me about. Was it fitness? Was it, I don't know what it was. Was it getting off the alcohol? Sure, I don't know, because I've done so many cool things. I hadn't a clue. So I just was real shy. And I was like, Jesus, the first time that someone came up to me like this. And I just got all, oh, I don't know, maybe you should listen to my podcast. And I got really shy. And but anyway, we ended up swapping Instagram handles. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast, because my mom told me the way home in the car what my mom and this girl spoke about, that she went through a breakup and that she was finding it hard. It was a year and a half ago, and that she's still healing. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do a podcast on where I was, where I am now, the journey to where I am now. And hopefully it might help someone going through the same process, the same healing process, I suppose. So you have to look at this scenario from a logic point of view and an emotional point of view. Now, the trick is when I tell you this story, I was not thinking logically during this whole process at all. I was thinking emotionally. If I was thinking logically, like a man, I would probably wouldn't have put myself in that situation in the first place. But because I was thinking emotionally and because I was trying to build a future with somebody who I did care about, but deep down knew that I could never really give him what he wanted unless he could support me and show me that I could give him what he wanted. And he never showed me how he could support me in what he wanted. And I couldn't give him what he wanted. And if I communicated that correctly to him at the beginning, it probably would have reduced the collateral damage. But saying that, I wouldn't be where I am right now unless I went through the mill and I went through the shit show. So there's a few messages there. So here we go. Cutting a long story short, I was with my ex for a number of years. He's not the kid's dad, by the way. Their kid's dad, Darren, he's the kid's dad and he's happily married over in Saudi Arabia and being the best dad that he can possibly be to my two kids, which is great. So I was with a guy for a number of years. That's the person that I moved to Dublin with from Galway. A few breakups in between, different things like that. The two of us were healing and growing and so on and so forth. Anyway, the last time we got back together, things were going okay with me. Things were going okay with him. And he just managed to come back in. I was like, oh, okay, geez, maybe this is the universe bringing us back together because both of us have went through a bit of a healing process and so on and so forth. Anyway, cutting a long story short, I should have known anyway, if things are really hard, just know that maybe it's not the right thing for you. Now, I'm not saying that if things are in flow with you and what you're trying to achieve at the time, whether it's a business or whether it's a job or whether it's a relationship, and it's in flow and you just happen to go through a rocky situation or a rocky time, that doesn't mean that you throw in the effort towel and just give up. You have to try. Like, you have to try. You can't just throw the effort towel in after an argument. You can't just throw the effort towel in if you didn't make your targets in your work. You can't just throw the effort towel in if things didn't go your way in business and you have to take a different path. You have to try is what I'm trying to say. I just wouldn't give up on something easily is what I'm trying to say here. Like, I am a Taurus at the end of the day, my star sign. I am fairly committed when I'm in. When you're in, and when I'm in. I am fairly committed and I will always try find a way to make things work and come up with a solution. And I think maybe that's why I kept going for so long in the relationship, because I was like, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe his communication will get a little bit better. Maybe my communication will get a little bit better. Maybe it's just because we're so busy moving house and trying to organise moving into our forever home that we're just so busy that things will get better. Knowing deep down, I could never give him what he wanted because he never showed me he could emotionally support me in what he wanted. So cutting a long story short, he wanted, when we got back, the last recent time we got back, he said he wanted kids. And I was kind of thinking, maybe my mind could be changed here, because I always said I did never wanted any more kids, because I financially and emotionally had to bring up my own two kids like 80-90% by myself for the first good chunk of my separation. And I just could not go back there. It was too much. I just couldn't chance having a baby with somebody else where I would be fully emotionally supporting them all by myself, because that's not what I signed up for. And financially supporting them, taking the good chunk of the percentage financially myself, I just couldn't go back there. So financially, my ex could support having a baby, but emotionally, no. So I just couldn't do it. And I did, number one, the mistake I made, number one, is I said, maybe, let's see how things go. I should have said, right now I'm saying no, because don't take this the wrong way. I feel like emotionally, are you ready to support a baby as a couple, as a union, as two people, as two parents, that are you emotionally ready that if the child gets sick, are you emotionally available to support me with the child? I should have had this conversation with them. But again, I suppose I didn't have the confidence to have that conversation with them because I was still growing myself as a person in confidence to be able to say that. But I suppose you have to go through the mill and then look back to see. The only reason I would say to look back is A, how could I have made things better? B, how could I have acted differently to have a better outcome? And I would only look back to see where my mistakes were made and how I could make them better and not repeat them again in the future. Because what I found was, I think that was the third time I got back with my ex, and even with my ex-husband, I found that I was repeating patterns. And when I looked back, I could see the patterns I was repeating. And that's hard to look back and look at yourself and go, well, if I did this differently, maybe I would have got a different outcome. Okay, you mightn't have got the response you were looking for, but the collateral damage would have been reduced in the long term, that when we did break up, it probably wouldn't have been as severe of a breakup. Now, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Like, would the breakup have went any differently? Maybe not. Maybe it would have been a bit easier at the breakup, but inevitably we were going to break up anyway. I could never give him the family that he wanted. Emotionally, I couldn't. I wasn't in. Because emotionally, I couldn't see how emotionally he could support me with all that would possibly happen within the dynamic of having a baby and a baby getting sick and all this kind of jazz. And anyone that knows kids know what I'm talking about. You need to be emotionally there for the child. And obviously, financially as well for the child. And obviously as a unit for the child. And I thought to myself, I'm not taking that risk of bringing another baby into the world and risking not having another parent there support them. I can't do it. And okay, you're probably saying, well, Queenie, I got burnt in the past. You know, maybe your trauma was coming up. I got burnt in the past, so I know exactly what's needed for a child to be emotionally and physically and mentally supported. And I knew I wasn't going to get that. Now, I'm not ditching my ex to say that he possibly, his new partner, the two of them work really well together. I don't know, but I'm just saying a scenario. I don't know. It probably was just the dynamic between me and him that just wasn't working. The both of us weren't getting our needs met in the relationship. And maybe the both of us brought out the worst in each other because we were just at different stages of our life. But I truly do believe I should have been more vocal and more specific at the beginning when we got back the last time. And there's a message here. Don't just get back with somebody because you're lonely and because they're filling a gap and because they're feeling a need at the time in the hopes that things might be different. And be very clear in what both of your expectations are within a relationship, what you want in your future self as a couple. Kids, no kids, marriage, no marriage. Get it all out of the way at the beginning is my number one advice. And be very direct and be very straight. If it's not what you want to hear from that person, well, then they're not the right person for you. That is my number one advice. Because otherwise, you're just creating a story in your head, a fairy tale story in your head, of make-believe or writing your own story in your own head and thinking that your partner can read your mind and vice versa. He was probably saying the story in his head of going, oh, we're going to have babies together and oh, we're going to have this together, we're going to have that together and building this amazing house with mortgage free for us to have a family and financially support her because that's his love language. But my thing was, I needed someone to be there emotionally, and I should have expressed that from very early on in the relationship. But to be fair, I learned that over the year and a half or 2 years we were back together, that I thought he could emotionally support me, but with scenarios that we were put in together as a couple, with my son being in hospital sick, COVID, all of this crack, needing help with different things that happened with the kids and in the relationship, different things like that, I just didn't get the support. So I suppose I learned that as I went along. And the story I was telling myself was, it'll get better. It'll get better. It has to get better. Because A, I suppose I was so far in deep that I was giving up the rented house that I was in, and he was with me, and then we were moving in together. That was so far gone, there was no way of stopping it. And we were so far deep in moving into the new house, I felt like, oh, things will get better. When we get into the new house, it'll get better. It'll change. We're just under stress. There's COVID. We're trying to move. It's the 24th of December when we're moving. Of course it'll get better. We're just busy. We just didn't give each other time. We didn't give each other time for dates. I should have known when I was asking for dates and expressing my feelings of, listen, we need to connect. We need to go out on dates. Oh, we can't go out on dates. We can't afford to go out on dates. I was being totally ghosted in the relationship because we couldn't afford it because we're moving house. I asked to go for a walking date at one stage, a walk, and I had to nearly beg for that. All the red flags were there, but I kept on saying to myself, it will get better. So basically, I was willing to dampen down my own needs to go with the flow because, looking at the bigger picture, that we're moving into this amazing house, it's going to be mortgage free as such, and our financial issues are going to go, and then maybe we'll be able to afford to go out on dates, and this big story I had in my head. Looking back now, I should have instigated that we sat down and we communicated where both of our expectations were in the relationship, what his expectations were, what my expectations were, where I could see my 5-year future self, where he wanted to see his 5-year future self. And was this actually compatible? And were we going to support each other's needs? Questions needed to be asked. The conversation needed to be had. I really, truly believe that both of us were probably afraid of what each other was going to say, based out of the fact that we probably, I don't know, I can't speak for him, I had this fairy tale ending in my head that things were going to work out. Based out of the fact of being back in the familiar with previous relationships, and even looking at my own and mom dad's relationship, the communication wasn't there anyway. Lack of communication, just going with the flow, oh, it'll be all right, brush it under the carpet, it'll be fine. No, it won't. And if you're in a relationship right now and you're listening to this and you're brushing things under the carpet and you're trying to read each other's minds, nobody can read anyone's mind. You have to express yourself with conversation. That is my biggest one lesson from that last relationship, was you have to express yourself with communication. And that's one of my values now, is, and that's the first thing I said to people when they asked me what my values were when I was dating recently, was communication is my biggest thing. Trust, honesty and communication. They're my three biggest things at the moment anyway. And we'll communicate as we go along what our needs are as we kind of go along. And I think both of us were probably afraid of what each other was going to say, based out the fact that both of us desperately wanted needs to be met. He wanted a family, and I suppose I was looking for a security family unit, which he was providing, I suppose, on paper, but emotionally, no, it wasn't there. So, cutting a long story short, anyway, things started to disintegrate. We moved in with each other on the 24th of December 2020. Again, big mad rush. It was like, before we knew it, we were in a house, or forever home as such. And I don't know, it just never felt right. It never felt homely. It never felt right. And my gut was totally screaming at me, but I wasn't listening to it because I just felt like, oh, it's new. It'll get better. And look, sometimes it'll get better. Sometimes by saying it gets better, like for some couples, it works out 100% and they live happily ever after. And for some couples, it doesn't. but I should have expressed my communication of how I felt from day one moving into the new house, of going, it doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel right. We're in now and I feel like there's no connection between the two of us. It just doesn't feel right. And I just felt like things were getting distant all the time. But again, plod along, getting things done, getting the house sorted, doing whatever needs to be done, putting away stuff. The house was still a building site. We were still trying to figure things out. It was COVID. He was working. I was still trying to build my business online, still trying to do the best I could for the kids, trying to manage everything. And we were on the roller coaster of go, 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 go. Anyway, February, my son ended up developing a rash. We didn't know what it was. I thought it was meningitis, brought him to the hospital. He ended up then developing, getting an asthma attack. And before I knew it, I was in hospital with my son, didn't know what was going on. And this was the first test. And now, to be fair, because I felt like I was the one doing all the work in the hospital, I felt like that I could have gotten a bit more support from my ex. So I suppose I shut down because I didn't get support from him. So I was kind of like, screw you, I'm in here in the hospital. Like, it should be at least getting a text or a phone call of how are you, how are you getting on, do you need anything? So I felt like that I wasn't getting that. So I just shut down the communication with him then as well. And it just wasn't a nice time. There was no support from either off. And the same thing happened when my brother was in his car crash. The exact same scenario happened. And I was like, here is history repeating itself again. It's just not working at all. And I was like, trying to make a decision in the hospital. I was like, okay, don't make a hasty decision now. You have to sort out your son. You're only after moving in. It'll get better. It'll get better. The line that I will never use in a relationship again, it'll get better. Anyway, it didn't get better. It disintegrated from there onwards. And March came and it came to a head and we had the conversation and it was like, you have what I want. I was like, what do I have that you want? Considering that, like, you seem to have everything fairly sorted here. The house, the business, whatever, the car. I'm still building my business, blah, 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 blah. He actually couldn't communicate for a while of what he wanted. And he said, you have the ability to have a baby. And I was like, what? I was like, so this is what this is all about. Why couldn't we have communicated this sooner? But sure, we never gave each other the space to communicate it sooner. Message, another message. Make space for communication. It is key in any relationship, be it a work relationship, be it a personal relationship, whatever. Make space for communication and talk from the heart, not from the head. So I had to be honest and I was like, I can't give you a kid. So can you ever give me family? And the answer was no, I couldn't. And I said it straight out. Financially, you would 100% support that child. Emotionally, I feel like you can't. And can't remember the ins and outs of it anyway, but cutting a long story short, that was the end of that. And I was told that, okay. Basically, what were the words? I have to do this justice now. Basically, you're no use to me then, so get out. I was like, okay. So this is it. So I was like, well, I need to leave time to go. So anyway, I asked for 3 weeks. I think I was given 3 weeks and that was it. Cutting a long story short, after an argument, it was a very abrupt ending to a relationship where myself and the two kids were left in a car, belonged to him, with a suitcase each and a printer, because I managed to take the printer in case I had to print stuff off to find somewhere to live. And that was the end of that. It was a very abrupt ending. And this is where I'm speaking about logically and emotionally. Logically, I had no rights in his house because my name was not on the house. His name was on the house. My name was not in the house. We were not married. So I had zero rights to be in that house. So because myself and the two kids were only in the house for literally 3 months and a week, even 3 months in a week, January, February, March. Yeah. I had zero rights. The kids had zero rights. We had zero rights. I had nowhere to live. And that was the end of that. So when the authorities were called to remove me from the house, their exact words were, he owns the house and you've no rights in the house, so you have to get out. It wasn't a very nice ending. Logically, if I got the right advice from the right person, if I communicated it externally to and got better advice and went to even a solicitor and got advice, or even, I don't know, who do you call those people for advice? You know who I'm talking about. The free advice centre that you ring, I can't even, citizens information. They would have even have told me, logically and like legally, you've no right in that house. If I went, if I thought about this logically before I moved into him, before I brought emotion into it and created of things will get better and things will get better. And if before I decided that I was moving in with him and give up the house that I was in, which was perfectly fine, and got the right advice, the advice I would have been given was, you legally have no right off that house because you are not married, you wouldn't have been living in it long enough, and he can get tell you to get out at any stage. I probably would have second guessed of moving in with him, and I would have had the conversation with them. But I didn't get advice. I went with my emotions, and like as most people do, another hidden message here is get advice. And if you are living in a house at the moment that the ground is uneven and that you feel like your 2 feet aren't on the ground and that you feel like you're not stable and that you feel like that the rug can be pulled out under you at any stage, look for another alternative and have a plan B ready, because that rug can be pulled out from underneath your feet at any stage and you'll be left high and dry with nothing. And then that's when the shit hits the fan. And then that's when you're like, holy hell. And that's exactly what happened to me. Anyway, when your back is against the wall and you have no other choice, you will find a way. And I promise you, you will find a way. So if you're listening to this podcast and you feel like you need to get out of a situation and you feel like there's no way out and you feel like you can't see a future with this person, and that maybe there's mental abuse, maybe there's physical abuse, maybe whatever, but you know that this is not going to last and you know that eventually you'll have nowhere to live, my best advice for you now is start looking for somewhere to live, or start putting the groundwork in now that you have your runaway money, that you have everything set up and ready to rock and roll, and have a plan B. Have a plan B that if you know that this is not going to work out, because believe me in you, things can change within an hour. And before you know it, legally and logically, you could be left sitting outside with a suitcase and a printer and 2 kids and a dog and somebody else's car that you got on loan for a few days just to get yourself out of there. So that is the crack-a-doodles. What happened next? What happened next was, luckily, a week or two before, I put up in a Facebook group, anyone over 3-bedroom house to rent? And luckily, I got a phone call of somebody who said, listen, we have a 3-bedroom house here. Look, it's yours if you want it. Just let us know. And I said no, because it was too close to home. And I rang that person and I said, listen, I might possibly take that house. And where are you now? Come up for a cup of tea. And before I knew it, I was in that house anyway. And that was just pot luck, because I had to swallow my pride and I had to accept help for a while. And I'd no other choice. And I remember I texted my friends that night when I was in the house and I was like, you've no idea what's after happening. And they called over because I had nothing. I had no food. I had nothing. We had nothing. We had nothing. We had to borrow bed sheets. We had to borrow pillows. We had to borrow duvets. We had nothing. And they came over. Two of them came over like with money, with food, with everything, and with the things to get us up and running, like, because we had nothing. And I remember they offered me a drink and this was the game changer. And I said no. I knew that I was not going back there And I knew that if I started drinking now, that I just couldn't risk having anything knock me back or stop me from moving forward with my kids. And I just said, no, I'm not drinking. And I remember I took one sip. They were like, you have to have a drink, you have to have a drink. Like, Jesus Christ above, look what's after happening. I had one sip of the drink and that was it. I decided there and then that nobody and nothing was going to put myself and my kids in this position again. And that included alcohol. And I said, no. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't drink alcohol for the few weeks after that when actually everything calmed down, and it didn't calm down. I was shaking for like 2 months, 8 weeks. I was physically shaking and trembling all the time because of the trauma was still in me of what happened and where we were left and the way it ended and what I was left with, which was nothing. And how the hell did I get here? I knew exactly how I got there because I kept on saying, it will be okay. It'll work out. It'll be fine. It'll get better. It didn't. And what happened was I was left high and dry anyway. So what happened from there? Obviously, there was a few weeks where I did kind of went out and a few nights and I kind of went a bit too far with alcohol and stuff like that. And I got to a point where I was like, I need to stop. I feel like I'm going to be left stuck. I feel like the business is going to be left stuck. I feel like I could possibly repeat patterns again. This is not happening. So I made a list. I made a list of what could possibly keep me stuck, or what could possibly catapult me back into a relationship that I was in. And I don't want to repeat that pattern again because I deserve better. My kids deserve better. I deserve better for a better relationship. And in order for things to be better, I have to change patterns. I have to change routines. I have to change how I'm acting, how I'm reacting. And I have to look back and look at the lessons that have to be learnt in order for me to heal and grow and make things better. Lo and behold, at the top of the list was alcohol. It needed to go for a number of reasons. It was keeping me stuck. I was losing 2 days of tiredness and being sick after even the smallest bit of alcohol. And I was actually scared that if I was hungover, that I would be emotionally drawn to people that would make me feel even more stuck or not support me in where I want to go with my future self for myself and the kids. So alcohol was at the top of the list. And then down along the list was a few other things like food, diet, habits, and what I needed to keep up in order to be the healthiest version of myself. I needed to keep my mindset clear. I needed to keep up my morning walk. I needed to keep my fitness. I needed to eat healthier. I needed to drink more water. I needed to get more sleep. I needed to do meditation. And I also needed to give myself space and time to look back on what the lessons I needed to learn, the mistakes that I made, and really look inward and going, why did I do them? Why did I repeat that pattern? Why was I not communicating myself correctly? Why? And questioned everything of how I could pull it apart and hopefully not repeat those patterns again. And it all came down to me not speaking my truth, me not leading from my heart, and not leading from my heart correctly and not listening to my gut, but more so communication. And more so, actually, I had to look inward of what do I want? What do I want from a relationship? What can I give in a relationship? And what do I need from a relationship? And can I heal parts of me that are looking to get a need filled in a man that a man shouldn't need to fill? What do I need to heal within myself that I was looking for within a man to heal? And number one, it was like, I need to get more financially secure because I cannot be relying on a guy for financial support. No way. So that was at the top of the list. And number two was, I need to emotionally support myself first before I'd be looking for that in a man, and then being able to express that out. And I need a man that is emotionally able to support himself and the people around him as well. And so I made a big list what needed to go in my life that was causing me to feel stuck. And alcohol was up there, and sugar and all that jazz. And I slowly ticked through the list over the next few months. And that was part of my healing journey, was looking at everything. My mental health, my physical health, my emotional health. And that did involve, like, not being with my friends. Not that there was anything wrong with them, but I needed to kind of just go inward and heal myself, find myself, what I actually liked outside of alcohol, outside of sugar, outside of socializing, what actually filled up my belly with fire, what kind of got me emotionally and mentally wired up that didn't involve alcohol or sugar or drink or socializing with people. And I found myself in the sea, in sea dips, in the mountains, by myself. I used to be afraid to be by myself. And I actually found solace in being by myself, taking off in the morning for my morning walks. Obviously, my kids were older, so they were okay by themselves. They're older now, anyway, 18 months later, that I was able to go on the sea dips in the morning by myself. All you have to do is go back and look at my Instagram, and you would see that most of last year, on a Sunday and a Saturday, I was either in the mountains or the sea by myself, giving myself headspace, reassessing how my week went, how can I make next week better? Checking in on myself of what's working and what isn't working, and how am I feeling, where is my mental health space, how can I make things better food wise, exercise wise, was I over exercising again to kind of put a plaster onto things, and if I was, I needed to pull back and actually do more meditation. Look at my future self, where do I want to see my future self, who do I want in my future self. Obviously, having a partner there, I was allergic. And I felt like I needed to heal myself first and figure out what I actually really wanted in a relationship before I went out looking for another relationship. And I was allergic. The last thing I wanted was a relationship. I was absolutely allergic. I was like, I'll never be with a man again. I'll never do no relationship. I'll be fine. I'm turning into a nun. This is what I was telling myself. And then I realized I can't be telling myself that, because it'll manifest into me being on my own. And I actually don't want to be on my own. I actually enjoy being in a relationship. And the company and the connection and all that jazz and the cuddles and the spoon, and I love all that. So I was like, what am I telling myself? Anyway, my healing journey began when I decided I was giving up the drink. Go back and listen to my podcast about giving up the drink, and this is where I am right now. There's too many positives to not drinking for me to ever go back on the alcohol again. There's too many positives. Clearer head, energy, better night's sleep, no hangovers. I've 7 days back. I'm making better decisions. Not having the alcohol in my life enabled me to heal to an extent where I thought I'd never get to. And I'm here now with peace and clarity and everything I imagined that I wanted in my 5-year plan. It's actually entering my life right now, and I'm welcoming it all because I deserve every single bit of it. And there you go. That's another healing process, was I deserve all the good. I deserve a good relationship. I deserve to be healthy. I deserve to eat better. I deserve to have all these amazing people in my life. And that came for me to be able to sit here and say these words, that came from a lot of healing over the last year and a half of, you know, really looking at everything in my life, my environment, the people around me. Like, is this supporting me or is this dragging me down? Like, every decision I make now, I try to think of it from a logical and an emotional point of view. And from a, is this going to serve my future self point of view? And is this person entering my life? Like, I ask the questions now. But like, okay, I'm skipping a few chapters ahead here. Let's go back to the chapter, giving up the alcohol. That was part of the healing process, because then I was able to have more clarity and think clearer, make better decisions, not making decisions from an emotional point of view because I was hungover or sick. That was healing number one. Healing number two was I decided to push the boundaries and go, oh, geez, if I gave up the alcohol, I wonder what would... No, actually, when I gave up the alcohol, I realised that I was still feeling a bit sick. And then I discovered, actually, I was eating a lot of sugar, and there was actually a lot of the sugar that was making me feel a bit sick, not the alcohol. because I was having non-alcoholic cocktails at that point and different things like that, and I was still feeling sick and I didn't like it. So I decided to reduce the sugar. Actually, we would think it was November 2021, because this time last year I was feeling amazing. And that's when I started to dip my toe into, when I started to feel amazing, I started to feel good. I looked good. I felt good. I felt in control. I felt like the business had a bit of a more of a clearer path again. I felt like things were working out. I felt like financially things were moving along again and bills were getting paid and different things like that. And I was there, ooh, I'm able to, feel like I'm able to support myself here, and things are going in the direction that I laid out when the shit show happened in April and May of that year. So I decided to go back on the dating scene, and I went back on the dating scene, and I decided when I was going back on the dating apps that I was going to use it as a test, because I felt like I wasn't fully ready, but I was going to use it as a test to test my communication, my mindset, how I was feeling. And yeah, I knew I wasn't fully ready to be all in and be all in myself and truly be myself. And but I tested the waters, and I did, and I went out on a few dates here and there, and I was dating this guy for a while, and I just knew my gut was screaming at me that he was full of SH1T. But look, I was testing myself, and I just knew then that, okay, I'm going to not bring real emotion into this. I'm going to think logically and have fun at the same time, because why not? I deserve it. So I used it for what it was. It was fun and a learning curve, and it was exactly what it was. And I knew deep down that my gut was screaming at me that what he was telling me was only half of a story. And again, that was me testing myself. How far was I going to go with this relationship, knowing that I wasn't fully getting the whole truth, and that my gut was screaming at me, knowing that I was right. So eventually I decided to call it a day, because, and there's a lesson here as well, if I kept that person in my life, he was blocking the right person from coming in. And I got what I needed from that relationship. I learned what I needed from, I wouldn't even call it a relationship, I got what I needed from that dating, and it was time to go. And I did. I got rid. I'm not saying it was easy, because I was still kind of emotionally attached to him to a degree. Not emotionally, but, you know, physically, I suppose. That's the word I'm looking for. Physically attracted to him to a degree. So it took a while to block the person. And after two or three goes, that was the end of that. And I kept having to say to myself, you got what you needed from this dating, you learned what you needed to learn. Now it's time to let go, because you learned to listen to your gut, listen to it and let go. And he was there to teach you a lesson, and he was there to help you grow. And he did help me grow in many ways. And I was delighted that I was able, because I was sober dating him as well. So there was a lot of growth within that dating relationship that I had for like 3 months on and off. And I learned a lot. So I had to park that and close that chapter and say to myself, you got what you needed out of that dating 3 month relationship scenario. You learned what you need to do. You grew within it. Now move on. And whatever you've learned, like, move on. And that's what I did. So I kind of got off the dating apps because I got allergic again. I was like, oh God, no, I'm not arsed. This is the story I was telling myself. I still have a bit of healing to do. Still have a bit of learning to do. So I did. And I looked at my life and reassessed my life again. I was like, okay, I need to focus back in on the business now again, because I need that to grow. I need to figure out where I'm doing. Lo and behold, I went from that to joining a business coaching group and excelled since, set goals, refocused myself back into financially securing myself and financially getting the business up to where it needs to go to grow it, and for the community and for the members and so on and so forth. So I refocused back in, because my focus was gone, and I refocused back into what's important right now. And what's important right now is that I need to grow as a person, personally, and that is pushing the boundaries, setting goals, and actually become standing on my own 2 feet and actually becoming like an adult 101 again. And I did. And I refocused my energy back into my time, where I was spending it, goals, the business, and the house, refocusing back into healthy eating, bringing it back to my core habits again, healthy eating, walking, because that all kind of fell. I felt like my sleep was getting thrown aside because of that testing relationship, as I call it. Everything was gone a bit haywire and I was getting late nights and I was like, no. This is not where things aren't in flow. And when things aren't in flow, it's not the right thing for you. And things weren't in flow and I felt like it wasn't right for me. So when I pulled back in and refocused back in and put my energy into my getting up for my walk in the morning, my healthy food, my breathing, my meditation, my sleep, the business, targets, goals, all that jazz, things started to flow again. And when things are in flow and things are easy, you know you're on the right path. Message here again. When things are in flow and when things are easy and everything just happens to be falling into place, you know you're in flow and you were in flow of leading with your heart, which I was. I led with my heart of this is where I need to go because this was my purpose in life anyway. And the right person will come along eventually. Now, story number, here's the next part of the story. During my whole healing process, I went and I tried things that I thought was hairy fairy. Beach yoga, full moon healing circles, sea dips, howling in the woods with healing meditations and all this crack, as in going off on a Sunday morning doing meditations and sea dips and kind of chanting in woods and different things with different communities, hiking, did loads of stuff, hiking, running half marathons, put myself in certain scenarios that tested me both physically and mentally and emotionally, climbing Carn Tool, hanging around with like-minded people, all growing and learning off each other within my own eco-fitness community as well, mostly with my own eco-fitness community because I felt like we're all on healing journeys and we're all striving for peace and all that jazz. So I went off and I lived. And during my full moon healing circles, I took it as an opportunity to spend time with myself and my head and let go and release that tension that I was holding on to. Because I kid you not, for 3 months after my relationship broke up, I was shaking internally and everybody could hear it in my voice. And that was trauma trying to leave my body. So to be fair to the full moon healing circles on the beach, that was my thing where I found release outside of alcohol and outside of sugar and outside of substances, we'll say, that was causing me to feel stuck. I found my release there. Some people say they found their release in the mountains, in the sea, in exercise classes, in tribes, within people. Everyone's different. But what I would say is go put yourself out there and try new things because you just don't know where your heart and that fire inside your belly is going to get ignited again and where that healing is going to be sparked. And I use those full moon healing circles to let go and to manifest. And what do I really want? Who is Krina? What is Krina like? If somebody came up to Krina, a guy came up to Krina and said, what are your values? What are your core values? And what do you like? Like, what do you want in a man? Like, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? I couldn't answer them. So that's what I learned over my healing process is my core values. What are my core values? If someone said to me, and they want, like, someone said to me, we're out dating, like, what do you value in a relationship? I'd be like, I don't know. Oh, please like me. Just like me. Like, I don't mind. Just like me and hold my hand and give me a hug every now and again. Wishy-washy shite. That was not going to happen. And that doesn't work. You have to be very clear and specific of what you are looking for in a relationship. But most importantly, what strengths and weaknesses you have that you can express that as well and go, well, if this is my weakness and this is my strength, you know, I need to be very clear in when I'm out like seeking a forever partner again, what I'm actually looking for. So what I've learned through my healing and listening to myself and my meditations and my alone time on the beach and during sea dips and being by myself is this is who I am, what my strengths and weaknesses are and what I'm actually looking for in a relationship. And what I didn't want in a relationship was someone to help me be financially secure because that's not going to work. For someone to heal me, that's not going to work because you have to heal yourself. And for someone to make me feel whole, no, you have to make yourself feel whole. And I found out what makes me feel whole is doing things that I love doing and that ignites the spark in me, like jumping into the sea, going on walks, like climbing mountains, doing half marathons, saying yes to things that are maybe fearful and going, oh my God, I can't believe I said yes to that. That's what sparks my soul. And when my soul is sparked up and I'm shining my light and living the purpose that I was meant to live, as in helping people, serving people, helping people be healthier, showing people the way, and living that purpose as well as showing people the way, which is key, I just couldn't show up. And knowing that my life purpose is to help people heal and help people be the best versions of themselves, if I wasn't being the best version of myself. So that was another lesson I learned, was I had to be the best version of myself in order to live my true purpose, which was to help people be the best versions of themselves. And there's no way I could help people be the best versions of themselves if I wasn't being the best version of myself. And that's what I've learned in the last year and a half. And I learned to be the best version of myself, and that was putting myself out there, and that was facing the fear, and that was saying yes to things and figuring it out later. And yes, that was pulling my big girl socks up and my big girl pants up and putting the work in to my business to make it financially profitable, that I could grow it and pay my bills, but also serve my community without fear of not having enough, or fear, was this business going to last? I had to pull my girl, big girl pants up, and I had to put the work in and show up on the days I didn't want to show up. I did sea dips when I was afraid of the sea. I climbed mountains. I put myself into groups when it was just me originally. I put myself out there to my community and said, come on, we're going on hikes, we're going on runs, we're going on half marathons. I put the work in. I showed up on the days I didn't want to show up. And here I am today. Here I am today after meeting, right now, how will I put this? A person that came into my life at the right time, both meeting me at the possibly the best version of me that I've ever been, and I know that I'm meeting him at the best version of himself, because he sounds like, and what he said to me, has went through a bit of a journey himself of a healthier version of himself, both physically, mentally and emotionally. And I feel like both of us have met each other at the possible best high vibration that the two of us are possibly given out. And I'm loving every single bit of it. So I was ready to go back on the dating scene a few months ago, and I just couldn't, it just wasn't working for me. So there's a last message in this. I'm going to leave it at this. The last message was, when I felt like things were going well, the business, like I was putting everything, every bit of energy I had into the business and my community and my members and my kids and the house and everything, I felt like, okay, as I was doing my full healing circles and my meditations and all that, I was kind of figuring out, okay, what were the qualities I would like in a guy to be beside me as a person moving alongside me and not looking for a need in him to fill a need in me. And I was like, I'm looking for my best friend. I'm looking for someone I can have fun with. I'm looking for someone who is equally as confident as I am now. I'd like someone to be obviously off the, like, not drinking as well. That would be a bonus, but it's not a big thing, but it would be a bonus. Someone that has went on a healing journey, and someone that's not afraid to share their story, and someone that has a bit of a past and that is not afraid to share their past with me, and someone that is into their health, their fitness. I wasn't asking for much, was I? I didn't know what that person looked like, but I was manifesting what I wanted this person to emotionally and mentally be. Physically, I'm not too sure. I was like, okay, if they come with a bit of a fit body, fair enough, but it's not the be all end all of everything. But I didn't want to have someone beside me that I felt like I had to fix, because I'm the fixer. And I just said, I want somebody to come alongside me who is able to stand on their own two feet and that is on, has healed or on a healing journey of themselves. And I felt like I was working so hard that my story I was telling me was, oh yeah, I knew I was going to be married in 5 years' time again to my best friend, and I knew it was going to happen. And I always said to myself, and I've said this spokenly out to my members as well, I know and I deserve, and I know that I'm going to meet my best friend, and I know that I'm going to be married to my best friend in 5 years' time, because I can see it happening, because I've done so much work on myself and I know it's coming. But right now I just don't have the time. this is what I was saying to myself, because I was putting everything into my business because I had a goal. So I felt like towards the last quarter of this year, I felt like, okay, I'm definitely hitting my goals. I'm definitely really focused. I'm definitely like giving all in the business and all in my members and all in everything. Then I kind of really need to make time now to make the next part of the jigsaw of my life happen, which is meet somebody nice that I can have fun with and that I can flow with. And that, look, if it doesn't happen, at least I'm going to start making time. So I started carving out that time. The best advice I was given for dating was, and when I heard it, first of all, I was like, oh, I don't think I can do that. I can't juggle that. And I'm going to end the podcast on this. The best advice I was given was, if and when you go dating, try look at it as if you're going into a magazine shop. And if you go into that magazine shop and pick up the same magazine and read the same stuff in the sheets and in the paper all the time and in the magazine all the time, like, you're going to get the same outcome. So when you're dating, treat it like walking into a sweet shop or a magazine shop and pick up something different. Pick up a different magazine that you wouldn't normally go for and give it a try. Open it up and see what you think and give it a go. Because clearly what you've been going for in the past and going back to the familiar is not working for you. So that was the best advice I've given. And the second best advice I was given was, when I was going back on the dating scene, was date numerous people altogether. As in, meet them for coffees. I'm not saying date them all and kiss them all, because I didn't. As in, have two or three people lined up in a week, and each week, of different personalities and different people that you like, that happen to show up in the dating app, that you'd be like, oh, that's normally not my type. Go and spark a conversation with them. And if the conversation flows in a message, my tactic was a numbers game. Meet them for coffee. If they're willing to meet for coffee, okay, they're not being, what would you say? They're not, they're obviously who they say they are, and they're not going to be a Tinder swindler, or they're not going to be a catfish. So my tactic was, I'm going to meet a load of people for coffee, because at the end of the day, I like talking, I like meeting people, and I like getting people's stories, and I like coffee. So, and I like walking. So if someone was willing to meet me on a date, if I sparked up a conversation and the conversation flowed anyway at all, my tactic was, listen, I'm not into big chit chats. Let's just meet for a coffee when you're free, and we'll set it up. If it didn't work and it didn't happen and we didn't get out for a coffee, well, then it wasn't meant to be. So that was my tactic. That was tactic number two of advice I got of someone. And I was like, oh, I don't have the headspace to meet loads of people. And then I thought, if you really want to meet somebody, it's a numbers game, and you are going to have to put yourself out there for a coffee date and pick up a magazine and start meeting people that you normally wouldn't meet, because you just never know. Now I'm getting tired now with this conversation and it's getting late, but I'll try finish up now. So cutting a long story short, I felt like everything else was in flow with my life, business-wise, personal-wise, with friends, different things like that, that, okay, I really need to put myself out there. So I decided I was going to make time for dates, and I did. It was hard to juggle it all, but I made time for coffee dates. And yes, I met people that I wouldn't normally go for, and I sparked up some really good conversations. I did get ghosted a few times as well. No responses, met for coffee, we would meet again. Yeah, sure, and why not meet again? And got ghosted. But the good thing about this is, even when I did get ghosted, I was like, oh, sure, it's fine. Sure, I have another date lined up in 2 days' time for a coffee. Sure, look, that's fine. This is why tactic number two works. Have a few dates lined up. It's not as if you're going to marry them all. It's not as if you're going to kiss them all. It's not as if you're going to go into bed with them all. You're actually just going out and having a conversation with a stranger. That is all you're doing. And see what happens. You're not committing yourself to them. You're not committing yourself to marry them. Just because you're meeting two or three people for a coffee date doesn't mean that you're marrying them all or that you're betraying any of them. None of them know. And I can guarantee you that that's what they're at as well, because they're out to find somebody. And my thing was, when I got told this advice, I was like, oh, I don't have the headspace to do it. But when I actually did it and got ghosted and had two other dates lined up anyway, just coffee dates, it didn't bother me that I got ghosted. I was like, fair enough, sure, it's grand, sure. Look, that obviously wasn't meant to be. But I was able to have that mindset because I left myself open to meet other people. And which was good. The third advice I can give is ask the right questions when you're going on dates with these people. You're interviewing these people to be in your life. If they're up to the dating speed, they're obviously interviewing you. Ask the right questions and don't be afraid to get everything out of the way in the very first date. At the end of the day, I'm 40 and I'm not getting any younger. So, like, I'm not pissing around either. And I'm sorry now for being vulgar, but I'm not wasting my time either. And I don't want to waste their time either. If I find someone intriguing and if we sparked a conversation and we got on well, or I thought there was like something interesting there, do you want to meet for a coffee the second time? And it would be a coffee. And I'll get to the conversation. So that's what I did. And as each date went along, and I'll be totally honest, I went to about 8 or 9 of them over the space of a few weeks. And as each date went along, because I did a few dates lined up, I got more confident in my interviewing skills of what to ask and what not to ask. And I did get ghosted. And I promised myself that I wouldn't ghost a guy, that I would always just end it nicely or text him and say, listen, I didn't feel there was a spark, but look, it was nice meeting you or whatever. And I promised that this is the way I was going to handle this and that I wasn't going to ghost somebody. That's not saying that I didn't get catfished a few times. I did, and I had to block people. So all during the process, I got catfished. I got ghosted, but I kept going. Because again, just because you reach one roadblock doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. But because I had healed at this stage and my inner critic was dampened down, and that I wasn't going, oh, there's something wrong with you, Karina, maybe that's why they're not getting back to you, I was like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I just picked up a magazine that didn't suit. I'm dropping that magazine now and I'm going picking up another magazine in the shop, and I'm going to open that up and read it and ask the right questions and see what happens. Because it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. And you have to do it, but you have to be willing to put yourself out there, and you have to be willing to meet somebody that is going to ghost you. And it's how you react to it. If they ghost you, it's they're not able to communicate to you that you weren't the right fit for them. That's all that's wrong. And like, maybe they weren't the right person for you, is what I'm trying to say. And why would you waste your time going back looking to go, oh, please like me, please like me, don't ghost me, please like me, oh my God. Because that's the issue in us. We're looking for validation from them. That's our issue. And that's their issue, that they ghosted you because they weren't able to communicate correctly, that you weren't vibing. None of you were vibing. So, like, when you do go back in the date and see, and I'm only can give you my advice from what I've been through, is, oh, date people that you wouldn't normally date. If that person likes you and you strike up a conversation, straight away get in to meet for a cup of coffee. Don't be wasting your time texting for weeks, because you can build up too much of a story in each other's heads of who you think they are. Don't build up the story. Don't build up any story. Just meet for a coffee and have a chit chat and take them for where they are right there. But obviously be open to see whether or not, like, and listen to your gut. If you think that they're lying or they're full of shit and your gut is screaming at you, well, then take your gut as it is and say, and run with that, because your gut is always right. It is always right. Maybe second guess yourself, but ask the right questions to get the right answer. If you do think that these person are filling you with a story that's not true, ask the right questions and walk away. Walk away and say, look, sorry, you know, I think you're a lovely person and all that, but I just don't feel like we're vibing or there's a connection. And walk away and treat it like an interview. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the job or he didn't get the job, and walk away. Yes, your ego will be a bit dented and your emotions will be a bit dented, but walk away. Walk away. And what can you learn from that? What would you do differently in the next interviewing process of dating? And take the lessons and learn and grow and move on. And don't take it personally. And try not go backwards of going, okay, is my ego getting dented here, or is my inner child getting triggered here, or am I being triggered from an old relationship of not feeling good enough? You can't go there. Your mind will want to take you there because it's there to protect you, but you need to take this new people as face value and move on and go, you're interviewing for the future, not for the past. So you're interviewing these people for the future. Can I see myself of these being in my future by asking the right questions? Ask the right questions. And this brings me on to the next one. As the dates went along, I started to ask the right questions of, you know, do you want kids? And, you know, what was your, like, you know, were you married? I didn't ask, do you want to get married? But it was just like, have you kids? Like, what was your longest relationship? You know, what would you do differently in your last relationship? Are you still married? And you have to ask these questions. Are you still married? How long are you separated? Like a red flag. I'm separated 8 weeks. Oh, no, thank you. Like, I can't. I'm sorry. You haven't healed yet. And I'm not willing to heal somebody that I've only met. It's too soon. Oh, like, no. No. Red flag. Red flag for me was that they didn't have a story, even though they were 44, 43. Oh, I don't have a story. My life was perfect. Red flag. So cutting a long story short, I was kind of coming through the dates and I was like, you know, maybe I'll give up. What'll I do? And then there was two dates left that I'd lined up. And one of them I wasn't too sure because it was a magazine that I would normally pick up and read. And cutting a long story short, I said, okay, I'll go meet him anyway. Look, what's the worst thing that could happen? And at this stage, I was fairly flying with the interviewing skills anyway. And I was growing in confidence with the interviewing skills with people off going. And I was learning how I communicate as well through the dates. So if you use the dates as learning for yourself as well of how you communicate and how you act and the questions that you ask, it's never a date wasted if you can learn from it. So at this stage, I was kind of fairly confident in the old skills. And I was like, oh, I'm getting a bit cocky here now. And I was totally late for this date, like totally late, like 40 minutes. But I was communicating as I was late. The traffic's bad. I think it's crashing M50. I'll be there soon. Thank you for waiting. So on and so forth. And he was like, oh, don't worry. I'll wait for you. Don't worry. I took the dart anyway. It's fine. And I was like, Jesus, lad's patience of saint. And I thought to myself, if this lad hangs around after this date now, at least that's a bonus because I was so late. So I arrived anyway. And I was like, I didn't apologise for being late because that's something that I learned. I said, thank you for your patience for waiting for me. You're very kind. Something along the lines that. And he goes, you were worth waiting for. And I was like, oh, that was nice. And he was interviewing me just as much as I was interviewing him. That's the vibe that I got. As we were walking along, I was kind of thinking, oh, I don't know, is this lad vibing with me? But he was challenging me in his questions. And I kind of liked that. I was like, he's actually making me think here and he's challenging me. And I was like, I was kind of getting a bit like peed off a little bit. But then I was like, no, I actually like this. He's challenging me in his conversation. Even though I was getting a bit peed off, I was like, oh God, what am I doing here? I don't think this is my type of person. Like, what's going on? And so a few minutes into the date, we were walking along and I thought, you know what, now I need to change my tactic here. I don't want to be wasting anyone's time. I don't want to be wasting any more of my time. I don't want to be wasting anyone's time. I'm just going to ask straight out, what is his story? And let's quit the BS. So we're standing at Talkie Beer, drinking coffee, and I was looking at him and I was going, listen, there's no point beating around the bush. Something along the lines of this. If, like, obviously you're, I don't know what age you are, you're over 40 anyway. If you don't have a story, I really don't want to know. And, like, there's no point continuing on the date. Because if you don't have a story at your age, there's something wrong. And he didn't know what to say to me. I just felt like he was a bit gobsmacked. He was like, okay, what do you want to know? I was like, well, what do you think I need to know? And he goes, well, where should I begin? I said, begin at wherever you think I need to know. And he just started talking. And then the two of us sat down on the bench. And I was thought this story was hilarious. The story he was telling me right from the beginning, from 22 upwards, 23 upwards, I thought it was hilarious. And I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, this lad has more of a backstory than what I have. It made me look like that my story was actually okay. And I was like, oh, we're okay. We're getting places here. And then I was intrigued. And then I wanted to find out more. And then he asked me about my story. And I said, where do you want me to begin? Where do you think I should know? And I started from the beginning, from 22 upwards. And then it just flowed from there. And then I wanted to know more. So then we went for a longer walk and then I wanted to know more again. And then I was getting more intrigued. And then I was like, this lad's getting interesting. And then I was like, oh, he's challenging me now with his conversation. And this was what I was thinking in my head, but I still wasn't too sure. But it was definitely, this date was definitely going more places than any other date because there was more honesty in it. There was speaking from the heart. And I was like, this has challenged me a little bit, but I still wasn't too sure. So cutting a long story short, I was like, listen, it's no point getting the dart back. I'll drop you back because I'm going that way anyway. And he was very kind in the process and saying all the nice things and all the right things. And then I dropped him back and that was that. And I was there, two of us got very shy. I was like, okay, bye, thanks for the date. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I left that like an 8-year-old. And when I got back to the house, I was kind of going, geez, what do I think of that? What do I make of that? Now, I'm going to be honest, I had another date lined up anyway. Another date lined up with another guy anyway. So either way, it doesn't matter how it was going, there was another date lined up anyway. So I wasn't putting all my eggs in one basket. And that's the best advice I can give is, like, because otherwise you're looking for the best out of that one thing when you, it's probably not the right thing for you, if that makes sense. So always have your options open. It's not as if you're betraying anyone. You're just figuring out what you like and what you don't like. And you don't know what you like and what you don't like until you meet a few people and different personalities. So that's the best advice. So I wasn't too sure. So then we were texting back and over, and one message led to another message. And next thing it was like, oh, are you asking me on a second date? And I was like, well, I think I am, actually. I'm intrigued to find out more is exactly what I said, because I was intrigued because I felt like it was good quality conversations that we were having. And then he was like, well, when are you free? I said, I'm free these days. My kids happen to be gone with their dad anyway. Where do you want to go? And I was like, screw it, let's go out. And I would never have suggested that with the previous dates, but I just felt comfortable. And I was there, okay, let's go out. Well, where do you want to go? I said, anywhere. Okay, when? These are the times. When you finish work on Friday, this time. 50 minutes later, okay, I booked dinner. 9 o'clock, Friday night, the Ivy. I was like, somebody took initiative. So if anyone's listening to this, take initiative. If you think you like somebody, take initiative. Because it was always me in past relationships, always organising dates. I was the one that always instigated dates. I was the one that always instigated where we're going, what we're doing, booking things. And it was nice that somebody took the lead for a change. And I was like, oh, this is nice. This is easy. Okay, grand. See you Friday. And the rest is history. The rest is history. We are still enjoying each other's company. We're still enjoying dates. Things are in flow and we're just going with the flow. We're enjoying the time that we spend with each other. We're respecting each other's time and it's easy. And yeah, that's all I'm saying for now. And I didn't go on the other dates because I didn't feel the need to go on the other dates. And I deleted the dating apps and because there was no need. So there you go. The rest is history. Maybe I'll come back on update 2 of the podcast of how we're getting on. But either way, I will say that I did ask the right questions within the first few dates and looked for the red flags and communicated. Sorry, I had to pause the podcast because my son dropped in my charger and this podcast is getting too long. But anyway, the second date with Mr. C is all I'm going to say. The second date with Mr. C, the two of us were very honest. We asked the right questions. We asked the right questions of what your values are, what are you looking for in a relationship. Two of us were very honest. I liked his answer. He said, he was very honest. He goes, look, before I even asked the question, he was like, look, I'm just going to be honest. This is what I'm looking for in a relationship. This was second date in, out and dinner in the Ivy with loads of people listening. And he actually didn't care. And that was a plus for me that he, okay, this guy is not afraid to communicate what he wants and what he's looking for. Tick number one. Great communication skills. Happy days. I'm looking for my best friend. I'm looking to hang out, enjoy my best friend's company and build a connection and see what happens. I was like, oh, tick number two. This is exactly what I'm looking for as well. Because I feel like everything else is going and flowing in my life right now. So I'm not looking for a man to come in and fill any need, an emergency need or a big need. And that's exactly what I'm looking for. So we communicated really well. We were being really honest with each other. We asked the right questions. I was like, listen, look, one of my things is I don't want a family. Are you looking for a family? And he said, no. And like I asked that a few times and a few dates, to be honest, because I wanted to make that very clear. He asked me what I wanted. Where do you think we were going? I gave him my 5-year plan in case he freaked out, in case he thought this one's mad, this one's crazy, this one's driven, this one won't have time for me, this one's building her dream, this one's building her community, this one's building her life. I got it all out there anyway. And I told him exactly where I was going and like where he was going, what his 5-year plan was. And we communicated really well by asking the right questions. And that led to another date and another date and another date and another date, and still asking the right questions, taking it slow, working out of personality and not lust and connection and communication and so on and so forth. We asked the right questions. And that would be the best advice I can give is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Go into the sweet shop and the magazine shop and pick up a few magazines. Don't be afraid to have a few magazines opened altogether and ask the right questions. You're going to get ghosted. You're going to get catfished. It's part and parcel of the packet, of the dating scene. You go in and pick up a magazine, it's not going to be the right magazine for you. And the information in that magazine is not going to be the right information for you. And learn to walk away and not to look for, but please like me. Please fill my need. Please love me. No. Look at this person. Can you see this person within your life in 5 years and 10 years? Interview them. That they're coming into your life because they're interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing them. And ask the right questions and be honest. Be honest and be logic and but be lead from the heart as well as logic as well. And listen to your gut as much as you can. And there will be times where you'll get ghosted and there will be times where you'll be like, like I went back because I was intrigued the second time with Mr. C, because I was intrigued and I wanted to know more. So I knew when I wanted to know more, not out of, let's just do it anyway. Like I learned from the dates where I was like, I'll go back to see because I'm testing myself. Looking back now, it wouldn't have been right anyway. It wouldn't have been right. Where Mr. C, I was intrigued. I was like, I want to know more. I want to know more about this guy because I actually genuinely enjoyed his company. I want to know more. And I've been treating it like that ever since because I enjoy his company. And the rest is history. And I truly believe I wouldn't be in the position I am now, enjoying a male person's company, happy in his company, in flow, still having my daily habits and still not giving up all my daily habits and making time for everything, my kids, my business, him, life, friends. Everything is in flow because it was a healing process and it was a journey and it was a process over the last 18 months. And if you told me 18 months ago that I would be in a guy's company, happy, in flow, and truly being myself and not afraid to be myself and free of judgment and have the freedom to be myself, sober, communicating exactly what I want and being comfortable with somebody, knowing that they're communicating with me as well and the two of us are in flow, I would have been like, you must be kidding me. But what I would say is do not give up. Do not give up. And if you're like those two girls that I met, I don't know which one it was, who was out of a relationship and it was a year and a half. Like, maybe go through the tick box that I said there. Who are you? What are your values? What do you value in a relationship? What can you bring to the table? what need were you looking in past relationships to get filled? Was it a financial need? Was it a security need? Was it a daddy role need? Like, what need were you looking to get filled that just wasn't working? And try heal that part of you that you can fill that need yourself, so you're not looking for a man to come and fill that need, because sometimes a man will come and fill that need, but it's not the right thing for you, and that it's not going to serve you well in the long term. So love yourself first. Find joy in life out of a man. Find your spark and your light outside of a man, because no man is ever going to, you have to have that need filled and be happy in yourself and be happy in your own skin and shine your own light and find out what that light is. And then you will vibrate out a different energy and you will attract the right people in your life then at a higher vibration. And then you never know, you will attract the right person that will beam towards you for who you are as a healed person. And that's where the magic happens. Because what I found was I was meeting people at the journey where I was healed, if that makes sense, where I wasn't fully healed and I wasn't fully at peace with myself. And I was meeting people either four or five steps back from me, or people that were unhealed as well. That, and sometimes it does work out that two people meet through a traumatic experience and they heal together. But for me, it just didn't work that way. Like, I truly needed to be at peace and happy and healed within myself and be really comfortable in my own skin. And I knew then that when that would happen, that I would truly meet the right person to be in my life. And like, I'm not being naive here and going, oh my God, and this guy's going to be in my life forever. But I'm just taking it day by day and enjoying it for what it is. But the key message here is I'm not losing myself in the process. I'm not losing who I truly am in the process. I'm still keeping my daily habits. I'm still being true to myself. I'm still going out doing things that light up my light and that spark me outside of him. And I'm not putting all of myself on, or all my self-worth on him, or relying on him to make me happy, truly happy, because I really truly believe I met him in a happy space, if that's why that's the message that I'm trying to get across. I was truly really really happy in my own skin through the healing process and the other previous dates I went on and the trial and the testing, and I knew what I wanted. I knew what I didn't want. Number one, I didn't really know what I wanted within a relationship until I found out what I didn't want through the last 18 months of the breakup and the different dates, scenes that I had been in, listening to my gut and all that jazz, and laying down the solid foundation base with myself, within my habits, my business, my mindset, my mental space, my physical self, my mental self, my spiritual self. I had worked on all of those areas, and I truly believe that I came into this space a different person. And when Mr. C came along, that I truly believe that he has met me at my best possible higher self. And I truly believe that I'm meeting him at his higher self, and that the two of us are in flow and we're just going with the flow and enjoying the process at the moment. So, long podcast. I hope I got the message across that I was trying to get across of where I was and where I am now, and the healing that was involved in it, from a mental, physical and spiritual and internal healing process. I'm not sitting here saying that everything's 100% perfect with me, because nothing is ever 100% perfect in your life when you're juggling all of those type of balls. But on a daily and a weekly basis, I reassess all aspects of my life, of what needs my attention right now. So, excuse me, for instance, I felt like in the last week or two, I was giving a lot of attention to work, to Mr. C, to my members, that I felt like, oh, my kids, haven't got that much attention off me in the last 2 weeks. So I reassessed that and I was like, oh my God, my kids need my full attention now. So I expressed that to Mr. C and I said, listen, I can't meet you now because I just feel like I need to connect with my kids. And I'm constantly reassessing all aspects of my life and checking in all aspects of my life to see what needs my attention right now. That's going to just what needs my attention right now. So all areas of my life are being filled, and that all areas is getting the needs and the attention that it needs right now. So everybody is seen and heard, if that makes sense, including myself. So there you go. Summary of the podcast is you need to love yourself first. You need to work on your belief system, what you truly want, what your values are, and what you value in life, and what you would like your partner, and what the values is that you'd like in a partner, not what they can bring to the table, because I truly believe that you need to be able to stand on your own two feet and be physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually secure. To a degree, we're all not 100%, but even on that journey of healing in all those areas, even beyond that journey of healing in all those areas, is going to higher a vibration that you're going to attract different people anyway into your life. I truly do believe that. And anyone that's not vibing as such to your vibration off of your healing journey, it's not that you ditch them, but they just kind of fall behind a little bit, and that's okay. You just keep moving forward because you'll meet people at a higher vibration of their journey as well, and you attract the energy that you're giving out. You attract that energy in as well, in a good way. So keep healing, keep shining your light, keep looking for your light. Don't dim your light for anybody. Truly be yourself. Look at all areas of your life that are holding you back and causing you to feel stuck, including drinks, cigarettes, diet, not exercising. Look at all those areas in your life and work on those key areas of your life that is going to be giving you the best version of yourself, which is a good enough diet, walking, breathing, manifesting, seeing your future self, having what you deserve, telling yourself that you deserve every single bit of it, and telling yourself that you are deserve, that you are happy, you are healthy, and constantly reprogramming that inner subconscious mind, that old belief system that you're not good enough, that you're horrible, that you're ugly, that you're not fit. Reprogram that all the time and feed it with current, yes, I am healthy, yes, I am strong, even if you don't feel like it right now, have it in the present and future self that you are. And truly believe that you are deserving of having the best people around you and the best people in your life that are going to be in flow with you and not cause you to feel even more stuck or cause you not to feel good enough. But you have to work on really, truly feeling good enough within yourself first. And that comes with taking action. It takes action, guys. There's no point sitting there and going, oh my God, I feel like this, I don't have this, I don't have that. Get up and pull up your socks and start taking action into your daily habits. One meal at a time, one walk at a time, one workout at a time, one date at a time. Obviously, a few of them lined up because you will get ghosted. It's inevitable. You will get catfished. It's inevitable. But those people are not meant to be in your life anyway. And just believe that and move on and learn from them and move on. What can I take from this experience and what can I make it? How can I make it better next time? And move on and don't take it personally. But don't expect to meet someone amazing if you're not doing amazing things for yourself at the moment. That's what I would say. Amazing people meet amazing people. Sick people meet sick people. Rebel people meet rebel people. Heal and grow and learn. Heal, grow, learn. Heal, grow, learn. Repeat, repeat, repeat until you're vibrating out a higher vibration and a good energy that you're going to attract that energy back in and surround yourself with the right people that are going to call you out on your bullshit and help you move forward and find your tribe, find the community, keep growing. Don't be afraid to leave outdated communities that are just causing you to feel stuck, or outdated friends or family or people or relationships that are causing you to feel stuck. And especially if you know that this, you deserve better, keep seeking better. long podcast. I hope it made sense. I hope it helps. And keep shining your light. Keep looking for your light. Keep shining your light. And keep looking for that higher vibration. And it keep putting out that higher energy. And always know that you'll always still be healing and growing for the rest of your life. I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect by any means, but I'm definitely a work in progress. And the best advice I can give is keep reassessing. Reassessing all aspects of your life to see how you can make things, improve things. Not looking for perfection, improve as you go along while you're always knowing that you're always a work in progress. Hope it helps. That was my podcast. I listened back to it. Could have said a lot more things, but you know, what I will say was I surrounded myself with the right people who, and I'm so grateful. They know who they are, my amigos, my friends, they know who they are. I surrounded myself with the right people and that helped me move forward. But most importantly, I took the help from my family as well at the time. I swallowed my pride. I took help from people to help me move on. And I just said to myself, I will never, ever, ever be put in this position again for myself and my kids. Never, ever will I be put in that position again. And that was the foundation of every decision that I made this year and last year. Every decision I made was future-proofing that this was never going to happen to me and the kids again. And I'll be honest, I'm still future-proofing that from a standpoint of view of I don't own my own house. I haven't owned a house since my early 20s with my ex-husband and we sold it. Still renting right now. And that's something that I'm working towards over the next 3 to 4 years is owning a property for myself and my kids. Not only, not that I plan on staying in this country, but more so for my kids. And my plan is to go between a retreat in somewhere hot and Ireland and have a base for my kids that they always have somewhere to come home to and that they will never, ever, ever have to experience that particular scenario again of not having anywhere to live. So that is the story, guys. Feel free to share this podcast to anyone that may need it. And as always, I'm there on Instagram and all that jazz. If you want to give feedback, just let me know. If you enjoyed this podcast, let me know also. I'm on Instagram, EcoFitness, and you have my full permission to share this to whoever it needs to hear it.